That's it. That's it.
And so this is...
One finger.
So like, right at the very end, you went to like this one.
It's like.
Oh, I didn't see it.
What did you say?
My eyes
what do you get?
My eyes are closed.
Is it the one with the last note wins? Is it
it shouldn't be about winning.
No.
And if anybody's going to win, it's the band leader.
Does he have an ego
problem? Yeah, no, it's just a. Want the audience to win.
Does that mean though he's supposed to get ready and wind it up? Is that what you
I was trying to get his attention, so I figured out what we were playing. it kind of emerged. And do you know what it was? Did you hear what I was playing at the end?
What song? Mm-hmm.
And shy of that, we would have called it Ludington 2016. So, but that whole idea of starting something, assuming this is a partnership, jumping in and agreeing where it's going to be kind of focused, and then the fun begins. Let me tell you a story from, when was it? It was May of this year. It was the opening set on a Friday night in the jazz club in Washington, D.C. Blues Alley was buzzing with excitement as the famed band The Yellow Jackets was ready to take the stage. The drummer begins an African rhythm. The bass player quickly joins in. The pianist punctures the air with syncopated chords, and this music was completely new to my daughter Meg and I. But we could quickly discern a melody as the saxophonist comes in. The tune then swirled and churned, began to build toward a climax. Suddenly the band stops and the saxophonist leaps into the unknown. He played a flurry of notes by himself, and then the band enters again with precision and surges forward, and the whole performance became even more complicated. Meg leaned across the little cocktail table to ask, "What are they doing?" And my response, "We don't know yet. We don't know yet." This moment of adventurous ambiguity can be very disconcerting to musicians and music lovers who prefer to have all their music scripted and confined to a page. It would drive a classical violinist crazy. For such people, the performance follows a script. It moves ahead as the composer wants it to unfold. The music is predictable, it always happens on cue and reveals few surprises. And later on, it will be judged on accuracy and expertise. How well do they play the prearranged notes? And then there's the additional recognition that a little bit of interpretation can personalize the performance within the limitations of the written score. But none of this is happening when the jazz musicians begin. Nobody knows what will come next, even if they know the tune, even if everybody has a part to play to make it fit. The saxophonist or the improviser begins to compose in motion. That's improvisation. The pianist makes instantaneous decisions about supporting him, deciding if he or she will go where the colleague is leading. A bass player may anchor the exploration with notes and rhythms and tonalities, but he and the drummer are free to push the music toward more intensity, which could then drive the saxophonist into spiraling off in a new direction. This is music in the making, and it's offered in the face of enormous risk. If the song is evaluated too soon, the creativity can implode and shut down. If some external voice comes on the PA system, you have a couple more minutes with your prayer group and then we're going to shut you down. Suddenly everybody gets very quiet and backs off. If these co-creators stop listening to one another, the performance will disintegrate. If any of the team members dominate or withhold their input, the enjoyment of true collaboration is lost. At any moment, the tune or the dominant voice could devolve into self-indulgent blathering, or it could unlock fresh insights and lead us into new directions. When this works well, take note of the broad smiles on the musicians' faces. There is sheer ecstasy in shared art. So where are we these days in the church? We have a lot of churches that will retrench and try to play it safe. We have a lot of churches that will kind of return to the foundations and say, we have to keep barking the same noise until everyone else gives up their silliness and comes back to the way it used to be. We have churches and people within them who are withdrawing from taking any risks whatsoever. Or they become so confined to the ongoing patterns of what they've always done that they cannot imagine anything else. So what does jazz have to teach this? What do you think? What did you notice already this morning? It's okay.
Possibility, openness.
Imagine that. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people think of God as creator who set it all up and then walks away. You know, the Benjamin Franklin deist kind of deal where God winds up the clock, comes up with the principles, and then I guess goes off to Mars and does the same thing over there. I don't know. You're going to say something? Can you imagine church people not listening to one another? Well, it's a scary thing because you might be around an opinion that jars you and you're not sure how it fits into all of this. I mean, I'm Presbyterian USA. And in our presbytery, a little presbytery in northeastern Pennsylvania, we've lost 5 churches in the last 2 years. And they've decided to go to kind of homemade denominations that are just kind of forging up. And they're doing it because there's this great divide in who we are. And you push them and say, what's that great divide? Well, biblical interpretation and theological understanding and what is that? We still have the same Bible. What it comes down to, and you can guess, is some of these churches can't be part of a fellowship that would entertain the possibility, not the requirement, but the possibility that gays and lesbians be in church leadership, let alone get married. They cannot be in fellowship with other Christians because of that. So they're going to start an entirely new orchestrate an entirely new denomination based on that difference. When the difference came about in the sense of we can all agree to disagree on this one and still be church together, but that's not good enough. It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating. It will be equally frustrating when some of those sisters and brothers get to retirement and realize that the long-established pension plan they gave up has been replaced by something that's not quite helpful. All because of that issue. That issue. We live in a world increasingly complex with voices now given microphones around the planet with 24/7 news, which now is segmented into you pick your favorite news station with the people who agree with you and reinforce your point of view, so you never have to listen to anybody else. And not only that, we're in a world where because there are microphones everywhere, computer terminals everywhere, we hear voices that we have never heard before. And now what do we do? My answer begins, and it's not there, but my answer begins with listening to one another and then creating some theological, spiritual music with one another. And that assumes a couple things. That assumes that there's something spiritual inhabiting the music. So I'm using music here as a metaphor for faith. But it also means that everybody can come to the table and they bring something with them. So I have to value the stranger before the stranger ever speaks. I have to trust and risk trusting the stranger before I know a great deal. And I think this is increasingly hard. It was absolutely staggering for a couple of my church members to discover that in our little northeastern Pennsylvania town, on any given Sunday, 22% of the occupants of the town are in a church. Are in a church, are worshiping in a church, are sitting in a pew. 22%. 22%. Now, if you were to knock on the door and do an old-fashioned survey, what church do you go to? About 70% in our town would say, I'm Catholic, although it's northeastern Pennsylvania, I'm Catholic. They would say this, but that doesn't mean they go. And this is the new situation we're in, and it has sneaked up on us. The weekend is more important than the Sabbath. I increasingly run into suburban people who come back exhausted and depleted from their vacations. What's that about? What's that about? They think they're pursuing the spiritual core, but they are basically just keeping busy. That's it. Would you like to serve in the church? Well, I'm really too busy. I'd like to be on the committee. I have too much going on. And that's true, because they are manufacturing all kinds of noise without listening to the music at the heart of it all, which is exactly what a jazz musician tries to do. I mean, jazz musicians, according to the New Yorker, if you look at the listings of jazz clubs, they say it's best to call the club in advance because musicians tend to live complicated lives. So, you know, they may not get there. It might be listed that so-and-so's band is going to be here for a while, but we'll see when they show up. The musicians themselves sometimes don't listen to the music. So here's a scripture verse for you to chew on. Actually, a couple verses. From the 16th chapter of John. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. I love that opening phrase. I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear to hear them now. A first century text. I take it as the word of the risen Christ to the church and not just the first century Jesus speaking to the Last Supper. That's the setting, that's the literary setting, but it is the word to the church that ahead of us is the adventure. And if you were to ask many of the church people I know, ahead of us is lights out, lock the door, it's been a good run. But to flip that and say ahead of us is the adventure. And it's not our adventure, it's Christ's adventure. And he will keep speaking what we can't hear yet. Did you know that verse was in there? And in some cases, very terrifying, because it means that in some ways, you cannot look at Scripture as something that's set, fixed, finished and done, any more than you can look at the world and say, God created it, it's finished. My read of the first chapter of Genesis is God creates the heaven and the earth, rests, and then what? Probably keeps at the creating. I'm not afraid of evolution. if we have a God who keeps creating. That doesn't scare me. But I do know that my human tendency is to want to fix something and keep it that way. And that really is about my own control needs. I used to handle parenting that way. I tell my daughters, this is what you do, fly straight, stick to the list, that's it. And darn it, if they got creative and started finding some other things to do. I mean, I was astonished when one of them went off to college, and then we went in with a load of laundry to put into that she forgot to take, began to put it in her dresser, and there's a bottle of tequila in her underwear drawer. How creative is this? I would never have thought this. Of course, I never did anything like that either. But that you cannot tamp down. All you can do is create the foundation and teach them responsibility. And then the terrible part of parenting, turning them loose. It's the same thing with jazz. I got to the point where I had learned how to play two-part inventions with Bach, but this is what happened. And my teacher said, no. It took me 25 years to realize that Johann Sebastian Bach was a master improviser. They didn't tell me that. All I had was the script, and I had to stick to it. They didn't tell me that that was the beginning, that wasn't the end. I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear to hear them yet. Imagine that. That the risen Christ is not only behind us historically, but ahead of us eschatologically. It's Monday, my mouth isn't working. But that he is ahead of us. And that what we are doing is grounded in his love and his grace and pointing to him. That's the governing center of it. What I found is that as a pastor for 31 and a half years, I need to relax, let go of my control, love the people, and let that be the core of it, love God, let that be the core of it, and then have some conversations. Where would we like this to go? And this presumes that at the core of everything we are, is this identity in Christ, baptismal identity, we cannot wash away. I am claimed by God. I am a child of God. And you are too. We have to have a conversation about getting through life together. And now, where is this going to go? And the answer is the same thing I said to my daughter in the jazz club. I don't know yet. Now react to this a little bit. Is this threatening? Is it scary? Is it liberating? What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I find it stimulating, like for sure. You always like to hear someone say the way you believe. I mean, nothing mm-hmm. like you said, you watch the news station that you align with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely feel anguish at the way the evangelical groups have left the church. Mm-hmm. And I really think in my heart of hearts that 15, 20, maybe 25 years now, I'm going back to this and say, what a foolish waste of time mm-hmm. and money. And the mm-hmm. amount of money that some of these churches that are very full are raising to buy their building back so they can go on their own little thing.
Well, and the thing about being Presbyterian is that's code language for nothing changes quickly. Yeah, I mean, how many Presbyterians does it take to change a light bulb? Change? we divided over slavery in 1861, and we reconnected in 1983.
Mm-hmm. Because, and I recently read this book, Making Gay Okay. It's a very fascinating book. It had nothing to do with religion. It was about natural law. And it took and traced the whole evolution of this movement of making same-sex marriage okay with a very different slant. I have a sister right now who is married to a woman, but I would not say
that's not always truthful either. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes.
I